Simon Chav Zayin, and we are going to be learning. We just discussed and evolved the halachas of left-handed people. We're going to be looking at Sif Zayin tonight, which is the halachas of somebody who's got a wound. And that's the halacha. So again, Simon Chav Zayin, Sif Zayin, Afal Pishesh, Lo Adam Makar B'Makar Manachas. If any person's got a wound in the place where he, in the place of Anachas Tefillin, person has got a wound. Yaniach tefillin, should still put on tefillin. So if the precise location, a person's got a wound there, he should still put on tefillin. Key, because mokem yesh bezroya, there is in a sufficient space in the arm, leoniach shtei tefillin, to put on two tefillin. Kyo etzem asamuch lebeis hashechi, mechetzi yada, kovdo yu mokem anachas tefillin. What the Shulchan Aruch really is saying is that there's enough space in the arm to put on two tefillin. Really? There should be enough space to put on tefillin. Therefore, if a person's got a wound, assumingly, there's still going to be space to put the tefillin correctly. So don't say, oh, I've got a bit of a thing over here, I can't put on tefillin. No. Chances are they can still put on tefillin. We discussed extensively the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, who holds that actually the Mokamat tefillin is even higher than from half up. The entire area of the muscle, the heightened, raised area of the arm is Mokamat Nachas tefillin. Therefore, surely, says the surely there is sufficient space to still put on tefillin, despite the fact there may be a wound there. Interestingly,
Rabbi,
yes.
Rabbi, I'm not really trying to this, but I wanted to ask you a question I forgot to ask yesterday. Some people do have a rabbi tam tefillin.
Yes, many people indeed.
I heard that some people swap it around. They use one tefillin first, and then rabbi tams. If they do that, do they have to make a separate, another bracha?
So what you're referring to is that the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, there's many, many tens of thousands of Yidden who put on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam daily. All the Chassidim, many Chassidim do. And it's a very praiseworthy minig. The answer to your question is that nobody makes a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. One does not make bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. They change the second part of the... they put on tefillin later on after putting the Rashi tefillin on, and one doesn't make bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Yeah.
So they put on the Rashi tefillin first.
Yes.
Then change to
correct.
Tefillin.
Correct. Very, very important. Yeah. Yes. Now, what happens if a person is... properly unable, and we spoke about a cast yesterday, what happens if somebody's totally unable to put on tefillin? It's just a massive wound there, or it's got a skin condition, which makes it unbearably painful to put on tefillin. Somebody literally can't put on tefillin. There's no way he can put on tefillin. What is he meant to do then? Are you meant to say, well, you can't put on tefillin shirosh, that's what comes first. So forget about tefillin shirosh, or are you going to say, still put on tefillin shirosh? And if you do put on tefillin shirosh, what brachas are you meant to recite? We had that before, and Shmuel just mentioned it here again.
But would he put on his other arm? If he can't put on one arm, on his normal arm,
so the Mishnah paskins as follows: Imamaka gedoyla, in the end of the Sifkot and Chavtes, Imamaka gedoyla mitzvah b'anochas tefillin, a person has got a very large wound, and he's unable to put on tefillin in his arm. He's unable to put on tefillin in his arm. Potom elinach tefillin shel yad. He's exempt from putting on tefillin shel yad. Even if there is a bit of space left, but the point is that if he can't, he can't. If he can, he can. If he can't, he can't. V'yoniach shel rosh levad, he can, but as we discussed, indeed, as you're pointing out in Chavov, in Simon Chavov, we learned, v'yoniach shel rosh levad, ein sham, so a person can put on tefillin shel rosh only. That works. I want to point out, just in this context, Reb Gideon's point that you mentioned, I don't know if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, about the question asked was, what if a person puts on tefillin, and there is a bit of, and he notices halfway through davening, there's a bit of shirt left under the, do you remember the question? I think it's a very, very interesting question. So, the answer to that question is, and then he pulls off the shirt. Puts off the shirt, so now, he realized it was a proper chatzitza, now there's no chatzitza anymore. Does he need to make a bracha now? Because surely the bracha before was done with a chatzitza. And we learned the chatzitza is a bracha levatola. Very interesting question. So I believe the answer is, and I looked it up as well. So I think that the answer is, we discussed yesterday, so it was, you know, it was very much in line with our discussion yesterday, the opinion of the Rashba. Rashba said, if you remember Sifkot and Tezayin, that the Rashba holds that there's no problem of chatzitza. B'di'evet. So he speaks about, you know, the wound on the head and that koiva dak that a person wears. So that indicates that B'di'evet, we are so much on the opinion of the Rashba that the chatzitz is not a problem. So following that, what does that tell us? B'di'evet, it's fine. B'di'evet, certainly you can't make a new bracha. You can't make a new bracha with B'di'evet.
Connected to the skin, though, isn't it? So it's hard to rely on that, really, because the sleeve is not connected to the skin. The kova dak is connected, it's linked to the skin, so it's more.
It's chatzitza, both are chatzitzas.
Right.
So ultimately, what the Rashba is telling us, the chatzitza, as Mishnah Berurah points out, chatzitza B'di'evet, is, you know, can be so much on the opinion of the Rashba, but that holds that, you know, chatzitza is not a problem. Okay, so. Siv Ches in Shulchan Aruch. Euch Ritzur Shal Yad. What?
Yesterday we said that the right hand is the first thing. The left hand is the second. So we're saying that the right hand.
So that's a machloikis. It's a machloikis of Yesh Oymum in
the
there is such an opinion, yes. Yeah, that's what the Ramah says. It's not so poshut. That's what the Ramah says the minig is. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
So,
we said, I saw subsequently, the poskim say that it has to be the natural hand. Somebody who is force trained into something that's not considered, he doesn't become that handed because he's force trained into it. Yeah, it has to be so I think even the Mishnah will point something out. I saw it in the poskim that if somebody is force trained, you ignore the fact that it's force trained. You go according to the natural hand of a person. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yes. The length of the Ratzua. The length of the Ratzua of the Tfilin Shel Yad. How long does the Ratzua need to be? How long? Eurech Ratzua Shel Yad. The length of the Ratzua of the Tfilin Shel Yad. How long is it? Kedesh Shtakev is a Zoya. You got to go around the Zoya, go on the arm. He's got to be able to, it's long enough that he goes around the arm. Vayik Shoyre Mimenu Akesha. And he also, obviously, he's got to be able to tighten the Tfilin solid and tight and proper, but timotech, and it should be tight and straightened. Al etz baim tzois, and he's got to be able to reach the middle finger, all the way to the middle finger. Vayikroich memeno, and he should be able to wrap around al etz boy shloisho krichois. Besides the fact that it reaches the middle finger, he's got to be long enough that you go three times around the middle etz boy in his fingers shloisho krichois. Three times, v'yikshoyer, and then you tighten up, you finish it off. V'noyagin ha'olam, the minik, the universal and global minik, is not just to do it as described until now. Rather, likroich al hazoya shisha, that you actually go around the arm, shisha six, oy shiva or seven, kichoy seven times. So, besides the fact that you've got to be able to tighten the tefillin, and besides the fact that it's got to be around the arm, it's got to be, in fact, either six or seven times around the arm before he reaches the fingers, and he put it three times around the fingers. The Rama adds another point over here, not directly related, but just an important point of information. You're not meant to be koirech the ratzua. Don't wrap the ratzua al hatitura. Do not be tempted to put the ratzuas on top of the tefillin. The tura is the side base of the tefillin. Don't be tempted to go with the ratzua over it. Kedei lechasko alayah, to make it more tight on the hand. So it's a good idea, really, if you think about it. If you don't want it to move around, take the two, before you go around the six, seven times around the arm, you go once or twice over the tefillin base, and like this, you'll be very solid and very tight. It's not going to move. So the Ramah said, no, you can't do that, because the tefillin shell, the base of the tefillin is much more heilig, much more kodesh than dretzua, and therefore you cannot put dretzua on top of it. So don't be tempted to do that, but you just, after having put on the round, you go the 6 or 7 times around it.
Rabbi?
Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring, the answer is yes. The short answer is yes. The Al-Chalkin, we'll get that in a minute. Yes.
Rabbi, I don't do this myself, but I see people who've got a jacket, they then cover the tefillin shel yod and the straps with their jacket. I don't. Do you have to do it?
No. So the reason why they do that, and we will still speak about this, there's an inyan that the tefillin shel yod should be covered. It's an important, nice addition that the tefillin should be covered up. A tefillin shel yad should be covered up. Not so the tefillin shel rosh, but we'll still address this point in Mitzvah Hashem.
I don't do it.
Right, okay. So bear with us, we'll get to the halacha in Mitzvah Hashem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so now, what are the three... So the Shulchan Aruch mentions you got it three times around the, you put it three times around the finger. There's various minhagim over here, and the Mishnah Berurah mentions you've got lamed, various minhagim, how you do that. If you notice, there's a few ways of doing it. Actually, you've got a sefer home that brings, maybe 15 or 18 ways of putting the, there's loads of ways. Mishnah Berurah only mentions a few, but there's many ways. So whatever way you've been trained by your bar mitzvah, I keep going, I'm sure there's a good source for it. So, but don't just copy, there's many minhagim. Now in terms of the wrapping around, the Mishnah Berurah says, the minhag is to, we said either 6 or 7 times, Mishnah Berurah in first white line, says, Oy shiva vanan nagin shiva. The normal custom is to do it 7 times. Question really is how you count 7. Sounds silly, but it is a bit of a question. How do you count 7? Because the question is, you could count, do you count the 2 halves as 1, or do you not count them? Do you know what I mean? There is, you always start off, it's not, you're not going to have, don't have to describe it, but you've got to have, the way you're counting, whether you do, I think maybe this might be a bit easier to, but when you start, so you're going to have 2 halves, inevitably, and you count them or not. So there's 2 minhagim in that as well. There is various minhagim, whatever you do is fine, but I'm just pointing out there's 2 ways to count 7. Sounds funny, but it is 2 ways of counting 7. Mishnah Berurah says over here, "Ein b'sharei tshuva shemasik de'nasus elu shiva kicho izrak al hazoya." When you count the 7, for sure make sure to count the 7 on the zoya, on the arm. Do not count the half before it reaches the arm, the one which is on the before the elbow. That part is not considered kicho at all. That's considered all part of the kesher, and that's not counted. Unlike those people, who do 3 kichas, I've never seen that. Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do that. 3 kichas, you put them 3 times over here on the higher, and then 4. You've seen it? Never seen. But what he says is they obviously only do 4 on the arm. No, so that's, I think that's not really done, but Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do that. Now, so we learned afterwards, the Ramah says, don't put the tzua on the tefillin. So Mishnah Berurah says, why so? It's if God lamed beis, ein likur, shikvani skai mukshartem b'retzua shalam ma'abata. You did already the kesha. You did already the kesha. It's tight already. So don't be tempted to put the tzua on top of the the reason why you shouldn't put the tzua on top of the tefillin is because the tefillin has got more kedusha than the tzua. You got the batim in there, you got pashas in there, so don't put the tzua on top of it. Because the tefillin, I know, but still, you're right, of course, he's not going on top of the parshas. But the tefillin as a object has got more kedusha than the retzua. And therefore, you're right, you just go on the sides, on the ktsitsa. But still, the tefillin itself has got more kedusha. Yes, good. That's halach. We'll be discussing that. Din lechalit tefillin sim chofches addressed that point. Yeah, good. Because we don't actually put it on top of the box. We'll get to that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. That's assimilating Simcha Dinah Chalitza Tefillin. We'll be addressing that. But you're not putting it. You're not making the mitzvah like that. You're just storing it away. We'll get to that. But we've got to know that you. Are you talking about when you're filling a worn, or when they're put away? Yeah, but not on the side. Yeah, no, but what he's talking about is that those people put the tzua on the sides. Yeah, so that's the question that Rabbi Tepa asked as well. But I'm just pointing out that it's true that the batim are not, the pashas are not on the sides. It's true. But the tefillin as an object, the bais is more heilig than the tzua. So it's true you're not going on top of the pashas, but you're still going on top of the bias, which is more.
On the bias, it's a plastic.
That's what you mean. Yeah. I see. I know, but you're still. I hear what you're saying. I hear. Now I understand your question. I hear what you're saying. I hear.
So it's wrapping it to keep it in place.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that you're not putting it on top of the tefillin. You're not really putting it on top of the tefillin. There's something being chotzes in between. Yeah. So perhaps the answer is that. At the end of the day, you know, it's true in terms of chatzitza, there's something separating it. But in terms of kedusha, you're still putting the ritzua on. You're still. What are you saying there? What? That.
No, I'm saying that you're saying in Malam HaKodesh, you want something on top of the.
Yeah.
Filling. We're putting a plastic.
But those people, they put the tefillin on the side. They put the ritzua on the side.
No, I have a plastic.
Yes, I know what you took. The protection, yeah.
Is that no problem?
No, you're doing it to protect the tefillin. It's there to protect the tefillin.
So you're wrapping the same
tefillin. It's protecting the tefillin. That is a protection of the tefillin. If you don't put those, the tefillin gets badly damaged without it. Because what happens, because of the rubbing of the shirt and the rubbing of the garment, it's going to make it round, it's going to cut
it. It loses
it does, yes, sure, it rubs it off. It rubs it off and then it becomes. No, if it's for the protection of the tefillin itself, it's that a shmira. Why? I see. No, it doesn't go like that. That it's, you know, if there's a bit of a, it doesn't go out there. Yeah. Partially, yes. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'anoegin v'aniach hashel rosh kodim shikoichim lazoya. He brings some people who have the following minik. I don't know it's just interesting. Yeah, let's just see. V'anoigel yaniach ha'shel rosh kodim shekoichim al hazoya. There are people that put the tefillin shel rosh before they do the wrappings. Remember, that was Shulchan Aruch's opinion. That you put on the tefillin shel rosh before you do the wrappings around the arm. So it says, those people, then, in such an instance, you'd be allowed to put the ritzua on top of the tefillin. Why? Because it's in order that it don't go loose. You'd go over the place. So there's an argument, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if you're just putting it on and then you're wrapping it twice over the tefillin, and then you put on tefillin shel rosh with a bracha, that's okay. It's not permanent, it's just for the moment. That'd be okay to do that. Then you remove it from there into the you go seven times around the arm. Okay. So it looks like there is you if it's there to for the yeah so. So what you were asking before, if there is any people who are. So what we're seeing from this Mishnah over here is that there is, if it's on a very temporary basis, and it's for the reason of the tefillin itself, there is room to be lenient.
Temporary,
yeah. No. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I know there are people. Does anybody know respond to that? Yeah, it could be that there is. Yeah, you're right. I've also there are people. Mishabu doesn't seem to like it so much. Yeah. Siv Tesa Boisai. Mokam Anochas Tfilin Shel Rosh. What is the correct place of the Tfilin Shel Rosh? Yeah. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Metchilas ikrei hasan, where the hair starts to grow, memitzchoy in his forehead, ad until soiv hamokoyim, the end of the place, shemoichoy sheltinoik roifeis. It's the soft. Everybody had a baby recently. You know, it's a soft. It's the area in the forehead which is the part of the skull which hardens the latest. It's the part of the I don't know. There must be a good English word for it. I'm not sure what it is. The part of the forehead of the baby which grows joins the latest. It's like it's a bit. You know, it's what is it called? Frontinelle. Is that what it's called? That is the so the area is from where the hair starts to go, that's the lowest end, and the top end of Makom Anachas Mitchel Rosh is that area that a baby has got the soft, which is a bit, when you touch it, you feel like, oh, I've done that. Yeah, so that is the area for him. Now, the Mishnah over here, we're not going to see all Mishnah inside, but the Mishnah does say that, let's just start off, because it's really important Mishnah. It's called Lamed Gimel, Ikesah, Peresh de Bein Enecho Lav Mamashu. When the Torah says, Bein Enecho, Pasuk says that tefillin shalosh is bein enecho, between your eyes. So lav mamashu obviously doesn't mean between your eyes literally, because the gamrinon gzeira shava lo yisasimu kocha bein enecho. The Gemara learns gzeira shava, and the Gemara teaches us that just like by lo yisasimu kocha, it's referred to higher up, so to regards to tefillin. Now continues mishabur. I'm skipping three lines. V'rabim nichshalim beisazeh. Many people have make a grave mistake in this matter. V'toyim, and they're making the following mistake. Lo yimashakotza elyon maschal mokim masa. Many people think that the top part of the tefillin should be by the hair. Headline. So that's wrong. And the majority of tefillin is on the forehead. And those people transgress an issur d'oraisa. The kol hatefillin. These words need to be underlined. The entire tefillin tzrichah liyos munochin. The entire tefillin must be placed b'makom sheyesh kocha, on the area that could have had hair or has hair. So dehainu sheafilu kotzer tachton, even the lower bit, the edge, the end bit of the tefillin. The entire tefillin must be in that space we described earlier. The entire tefillin must be in an area which either has hair or had hair. But surely it does not mean the hair that grows down. Is it? That's not considered. We're talking about where the hair grows. If it's dangling down, that's not to be considered at all. That's obviously ignore that. The entire area must be between. Again, the lowest end is where the hair starts to grow. That's the lowest end, and the highest end is where the soft spot is of the baby's forehead. The entire tefillin must be in that area. And then he adds even more than that. The yoisa toiv, even better, if it's possible at all, preferably is. It's better to put it even higher up than that. Put it a bit higher than that, if possible at all. The whole mokum yesh perush and yechshet tefillin, because remember, you should be able to put two tefillin. You should be able to put on two tefillin. Have you ever seen a lot of Kabbalists? They put on the Kabbalah, and they sometimes put on two tefillin. Small tefillin, but you could put on two tefillin on the forehead. And then he says, puts it on the forehead. That's the meaning of the karet, because they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Called Ba'anafesh, Yizyazia Lechaveroi, whoever is careful is with his soul, who's got Yirat Shemaim, should be careful about this, Vilamdem, and should even tell other people about it. If you see other people in shul, you should tell them off about it, because somebody doesn't put on tefillin about Pesach, Poishe Yisrael Begufon. It's as if he's doing a. He's categorized somebody who doesn't put on tefillin properly. And then he says, "V'im nishma tum koyim on the last few words of the Mishnah. If somebody is feeling it moves out of place a little bit, so chalachzir on techev, he must immediately put it back in the right place. So this is an important Mishnah to ensure that the tefillin are positioned quite high up. Too high is very rare, although I've seen that as well. If it's too high, but it's quite rare because then it gets very very loose and it's very hard to have. They move a lot if it's too high up. But people are generally tempted to have the tefillin too low." And it's really, really important to ensure that tefillin entirely are on top of the and the area where the hairline is. Okay, Abba Yisrael, the time is this evening. We spoke about that there is sufficient space to put on two tefillin, on tefillin shel yad as well. So if there's a wound or something, one should still put on tefillin. If it's completely impossible to put on tefillin shel yad, one should still put on tefillin shel rosh. We learned the length of the tefillin is, the minhag is to put on 7 kichos around the arm, as well as very, very tight. Tightly put on tefillin, three wrappings around the fingers. We said that the Mishneh Berurah doesn't like putting on the ritzuos on top of the tefillin. That should be avoided. And we also spoke about the makom al tefillin of the tefillin shel rosh, which is between the hairline and the soft spot of the baby. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. More on this tomorrow, Be'ez HaShem.